because my grandmother lived in our house for the first 22 years of my life. I love her. And that, in a small way, explains why we rehearse events from Palm Sunday to Easter in the life of Christ every year. The story we read this morning recounts events that give us a link back to Christ across all the years. We cherish that link because that story is the story of mankind. It's the story of the ages. It gives us a link to Him. And for billions of us, it is not only the center story of Earth, it's the central story of our lives. We love Christ, and we never tire of hearing that story. We who don't like surprises are jolted when the jubilant and joyous crowds that line the parade route of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem gave way to the mob shouting for Him to be crucified. How does public opinion change like that? Were people the same people, some of the same people, in both crowds? One crowd shouted, "Hosanna," the other shouted, "Crucify Him." Which crowd would we be in? Judas betraying Jesus with his perfidious kiss haunts us. How did he become part of Jesus' inner circle of followers? What was he thinking? He has become a permanent symbol of the power of evil to destroy what is good. But Christ, what did Christ do to elicit that kind of treachery? We'll never forget Peter breaking down and weeping when he heard the cock crow the second time, and the horror of what he had done flowed over him like a killer wave. His dreams dashed. Months and months of following Christ, all for nothing. It all must have seemed like a mockery to him in the courtyard of the high priest. And at the very center of everything is Jesus. He rides into Jerusalem, not on a horse like a king, but on the back of a borrowed donkey. He doesn't scold the woman who pours a year's wages worth of perfume on his feet. He gives bread and wine new and immortal meaning. He anticipates treachery, denial, cowardice. He doesn't rage and threaten his accusers. He maintains an eerie silence in the presence of the high priest, of the Roman procurator, and of the soldiers. He utters that last desolate cry and breathes his last. You and I love to tell stories about ourselves. We love rags to riches stories. We love to hear stories about people who succeeded against impossible odds. And we love to tell how generous we are when we give a few dollars to the poor, as if that were somehow a compensation for our selfishness. Of course we like his story. It is the story of the ages. It is the story of the humility of God and the salvation of the world from our sins. We may love rags to riches stories. His is the quintessential story of riches to rags. We may continue to love stories about people who succeed against overwhelming odds. His is the quintessential story of a man who failed in spite of his overwhelming goodness. His is a story for the poor, and for the poor in spirit. And that's why we love him. That's why we give our loyalty to him. That's why people make great sacrifices for him. His big story somehow makes room for our little stories to find a home and to find meaning. And when the heavens roll up like a scroll and the earth perishes by fire, the last man left alive would do well to quote the story of Easter week and welcome in at last the kingdom of God upon the earth. Grace and peace from the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And before you leave, I hope you'll extend that peace to the people around you. Amen.